Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Socialism, everywhere it's been tried, and every other totalitarian movement you can think of, going all the way back to the French Revolution, they've always targeted the family and the church.
You don't have to surrender your body, bits of your body, to a garbage bin. You can find peace, and you have the right to have peace in who God created you to be, and that's who you really are.
The earth has never saved anybody. What the earth does is swallow you up. You get buried in it, for heaven's sake. You don't get saved by it.
Yeah, the idea that the liturgy is oriented toward the past, that always just blows me away, because in point of fact, the liturgy, historic liturgy of the Christian church, is anchored in God's future. That's what it actually delivers into this present moment.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
There were a lot of bad reactions to the U.S. Supreme Court recently hearing oral argument on Dobbs v. Jackson, especially when it did not go well for the side that was trying to bat down that Mississippi law, and it did not go well for, well, perhaps, the future of Roe. One of the worst was in the New York Times from Elizabeth Speier. She, well, I don't know how she reasoned it out, but she basically concluded that, well, some babies are better off dead than adopted. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 7th of December. We're going to be talking about abortion and adoption with Katie Faust. She is founder of the children's rights organization Them Before Us. We'll spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus sending out the 72 in Luke chapter 10. Then it's part 3 of our series, The St. Peter Option, Living as Exiles in a Foreign Land. We're going to talk about a life lived as a doxology of praise under trials. Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy will join us. Joining us to discuss abortion and adoption, Katie Faust. She's founder and director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us. She's co-author of the new book, also called Them Before Us, and a recent column titled, No, We Shouldn't Kill Babies Because Adoption is Traumatic. Katie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Todd.
So tell us what the New York Times recently published on adoption and abortion in light of the U.S. Supreme Court hearing oral argument on Dobbs v. Jackson recently.
Yeah, they came out with an op-ed by a guest essayist named Elizabeth Spires, who talked about how she was adopted as an infant. Interestingly, her birth mother, as well as her adoptive parents, are both pro-life. And both of them point out to Mrs. Spires that she would not exist if it wasn't for their own, both of their pro-life convictions, right? The birth mother's pro-life convictions that Elizabeth deserved life, and her adoptive parents' conviction that those babies need to be cared for. But somehow, despite that upbringing, Mrs. Spires argued for abortion as a form of health care, and that one of the reasons why is that she felt like adoption is traumatic for the birth mother, traumatic for the baby, and that, in her opinion, abortion is a preferable option.
You say that Spires' own life invalidates what she had to say in that op-ed. How so?
Well, the fact is that she would not be writing for the New York Times if her birth mother had decided that abortion was a form of health care. That her writing at the New York Times, her living a life, her being a mother herself, would have been impossible if her birth mother had not respected her right to life. So that really is the only refutation needed, is if you feel like what the work you're doing at the New York Times is so important, that would never have been possible without your birth mother's pro-life convictions.
What's the intrinsic relationship between abortion and adoption?
Well, obviously, those of us on the pro-life side believe that new life should be welcomed, and that hopefully new life is going to take place in a relationship that is secure enough so that the result is rejoicing when you get that positive pregnancy test. But sometimes that's not how it goes. Sometimes there's a difficult diagnosis. Sometimes the mother feels alone or pressured to abort. Sometimes she doesn't feel like she's prepared or ready. Sometimes she's unable to parent. And so we understand on the pro-life side that sometimes adoption may be the best option for all involved. And even Mrs. Spires recognizes that in her op-ed, that sometimes it is the best option, even though it can be difficult for the baby and the birth mother. So we talk about this. This is one of the reasons why Mrs. Spires wrote the letter, is because Justice Amy Coney Barrett had asked about safe haven laws and how the presence of safe haven laws makes it easier for women who have an unplanned or unwanted pregnancy to give the baby up for adoption if she feels like that's the right decision.
So how do we need to correct the moral lens with which we see unplanned pregnancies, abortion, and adoption?
Well, we tend to look at all of these from the perspective of the adults, right? With the unplanned pregnancy, we are looking at the struggles or the challenges or the fears that the woman is facing. Oftentimes, they're very real fears and challenges. With abortion, we tend to talk about it from a women's rights perspective. And even from adoption, we tend to look at it from the perspective of, oh, here's an infertile couple that needs a baby or wants a baby. But we actually need to look at all of these issues from the perspective of the child. That in the case of an unplanned pregnancy, the child has a right to life. In the case of somebody considering abortion, the child has a right to have their life protected. And in adoption, the child has a right to be adopted by loving parents. Adults don't have a right to adopt. So when we look at these from the perspective of the child, that helps us to see everything clearly. It is a perspective that requires adults to do hard things so the rights of children are protected.
So that situation of an unplanned pregnancy, for lack of a better term there, Katie, is entirely recast if one begins with the right of the child first to life.
Exactly. You know, we spend so much time thinking about the mother. She's so tangible. She's so immediate. Her emotions, her fears, her desires are just so front and center. But it is the child who is going to suffer if the wrong decision is made. And so we must focus our emphasis of this discussion and really all discussions about marriage, family, parenthood, pregnancy, abortion, and adoption on children, because ultimately it's the children who suffer if we don't prioritize their rights.
How does society ignore not only that child's right to life, but also the child's right to her mother and father?
Well, we've definitely seen society ignoring a child's right to life in the last almost 50 years of abortion being legalized nationwide. Thank God. We've got hundreds of pro-life organizations who are fighting for a child's right to life. At Them Before Us, we are fighting for children's rights on this side of the womb. We are fighting for children's rights to their mother and father, which does connect with the abortion issue. Children are much less likely to be aborted if they are in the body of a woman who's married to the child's father. Marriage, having the mom and dad in this relationship together, drastically drops abortion rates. And so having a child connected to both their mother and father is the very, very best response to an unplanned pregnancy.
So let's talk a little bit about how adoption, while infinitely preferable to abortion, is for a child an occasion for loss and suffering.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so actually, I agree with Ms. Spires in her essay that adoption can be traumatic. It can bring about suffering and loss. It does bring about loss for the child. And that's something that adoptive parents actually recognize. These days, when you're going through the adoption process, adoptive parents like me go through trainings and preparation to talk about the kind of grieving and mourning and processing that our children are going to experience in different ways as they grow in relation to losing their first family. For children who lose their mother at birth, a lot of times there is some separation, anxiety, some trauma that results from being separated from your birth mother when that's the only person that you know. And so I actually appreciated Mrs. Spires bringing that to light, that this is traumatic. It's not the way God intended for it to be. God intended for children to be connected to their mother and for the day of their birth to be the first time they see their mother that they will be with forever, not the last time they see the mother that they're already connected to. And so, yes, children do suffer trauma and loss in adoption.
How is the maternal bond an argument for parenting and marriage?
Yeah, so Ms. Spires goes on in her article quite rightly about the in utero bond that mother and child form and how critical it is, both for the mother, right, who oftentimes never gets over that baby. I mean, she mentions her own birth mother. I know birth mothers who gave their children up for adoption that still think about their baby 50 years later, every day, the day the baby was born. And the baby obviously bonds and connects with the mother. But in Spires' essay, she says, well, it's too painful to sever that bond through adoption, so we should just abort the baby. No, the presence of that maternal bond tells us not that we should seek abortion, but that the proper response is parenting. That bond exists for a reason, to connect mom and baby together for life. But the baby needs more than just the mom. The baby also needs the dad. But we talk about in the article how even though there's a literal cord that connects mom to baby, there's no cord that connects dad to baby. And so all of societies, all throughout history, the five major religions of the world have all concluded that if we're going to connect dad to baby, what we need to do is create a cord that connects dad to mom. And then dad will be connected to baby. And that cord, that social and legal cord, has been called marriage. So the existence of that bond between mother and baby says mom and baby are supposed to be together for life. And marriage is what gives baby both mom and dad.
So make the case that adoption isn't about parental rights or desires.
Yeah, a lot of people talk to me and say, Katie, do adults have a right to adopt? Do LGBT couples have a right to adopt? And the answer is no. No adult has a right to adopt. Children who have lost their parents have a right to be adopted. Adoption exists for the baby, for the children, not for the adults. And so it's important for the adults to conform to the rights and needs of the child in adoption, right? The child doesn't exist to meet a need for the adult. The adults exist to meet the need for a child who's lost their parents. And so in that sense, what we do as adoptive parents is we understand the child has lost something that they are made for. We understand that they very likely have suffered trauma. And we are there seeking to mend their wound.
So how is the argument that a child may suffer after birth not an argument for abortion?
Right. Well, simply that anytime suffering is in the cards, when is that ever justification to kill an innocent life? It's not. We can recognize that sometimes adoption may be the best option, and we can also recognize that that involves loss for the child, but that never justifies violating their right to life. So we can and should. I actually think that the pro-life world needs to walk and chew gum at the same time on this topic, and that in some ways we have over-romanticized adoption and made it sound like adoption fixes everything. As an adoptive mom, I can tell you that I can't fully compensate for everything that my son has lost, but I can tell you that his life and his belonging in our family is redemptive and altogether good. So we can recognize that there's loss and then still say adults are responsible. In fact, a just society cares for orphans. It doesn't kill them.
Katie Faust is founder and director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us. She's co-author of the new book, also called Them Before Us, and a recent column titled, No, We Shouldn't Kill Babies Because Adoption is Traumatic. You can read it and purchase Katie's book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Katie, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
Folks, help us contend for truth in an age of anti-truth by making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. With 4 weeks left in 2021, we're $159,000 short of expenses. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping Issues Etc. in mind at the end of the year. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus sending out the 72 next. Please include the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. in your year-end giving. With 4 weeks left in 2021, were $159,000 short of projected expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Are you looking for Christ-focused ornaments and gifts this Advent? Ad Crucem has a wide selection of Christmons, Christmas ornaments, greeting cards, artwork, housewares, jewelry, and churchwares to boldly and beautifully proclaim the good news of Christ given for us. Put what you believe, teach, and confess on display this year. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The pursuit of truth is the best way to prepare students for lives of responsible freedom and vocational service in family, church, and career. At Concordia University Chicago, truth is one of the pillars of our education, and that makes all the difference for our students. I'm Dr. Eli Hesterman, Dean of the College of Health, Science, and Technology at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.